When it comes to food, we have never before had more choices or more information. Today, we'll find out how we're taking advantage of those choices and using that information. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Better Homes and Gardens has released the results of its 2010 Food Factor Survey. Today, I'll talk with Nancy Hopkins, Senior Deputy Editor of Food and Entertaining at the magazine. She was also one of the designers of this extensive survey. We'll find out what the survey reveals about how we eat, how we cook, and how we shop. We also want to know how your habits have changed. Are you eating at home more? Do you make an effort to shop locally? How often do you really cook from scratch? Join the conversation at 866-780-9100, tweet us at IPR Talk, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we have far more choices when it comes to what we eat than ever before. We also have access to a tremendous amount of information and also misinformation about our food. Better Homes and Gardens magazine has released the results of its 2010 Food Factor Survey, How America Cooks, Eats, and Shops. It's an extensive survey, and it explores the choices that we're making. It compares the choices we're making now to choices we've been making in the recent past. And with me today is Nancy Hopkins, Senior Deputy Editor of Food and Entertaining at the magazine. She was also one of the designers of the survey. Hello, Nancy.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm happy to be here.
Before we start talking about what you found, let's talk about the group of people that you actually surveyed. This is a large and extensive survey. How many people participated?
There were, if you can imagine, 3,600 women across the U.S., and we filled it, the study, in April 2010. And that compared to our study, our last study, in 2008.
So this is a survey of women, which is the primary audience of your magazine, so it makes sense that that's your focus area. But one of the big changes that has happened in the last few decades is that men are doing a greater share of the cooking and making food choices for their families. Why did you decide to focus only on women?
Well, it's all about her, don't you think? You know, she's in charge of the shopping for the most part at the home. And of course, there's a lot of input from her family members and her husband. But, you know, when it gets right down to it, she loves to make her family feel special and do what's absolutely right for them. And it comes down to, you know, it's all about her.
You are one of the designers of this survey. How many questions were there?
Lots and lots. You know, I don't even actually have the exact number of questions. The participants were asked to complete two sections. And there were 13 sections to the study. So about 183 questions. Again, they were each completing two sections. So, and all online.
All right. So we're going to talk about some of the key findings of the study, but give me an idea of the breadth of the survey, because this isn't just about what you make for dinner and what you buy at the grocery store. There's a lot more that went into this.
Absolutely. We looked at everything from recipe usage to what motivates them, what inspires them, where do they get their information from. We looked at, you know, the dynamic of the family and the mealtime, food prep, food serving. What kinds of ingredients are they using? You know, are they really into spices or herbs? Nutrition, of course. Big area with entertaining, cooking, baking. Are people really cooking from scratch? You know, that was a big question. What do we think about organics or local foods? That was another area. Food safety. People always interested in food safety. And then shopping patterns. You know, we've been in a downturn economy. So do coupons really matter? You know, what do we think about that? And then lastly, we looked at the media landscape. You know, are we really looking to celebs? What do we really think about TV? Or is grandma still right when it comes to, you know, asking questions about cooking for your family? So those were the highlight areas of the study.
Well, let's talk about one of the big changes that you did see, and that's a change in people spending more time eating at home.
Absolutely. And I just, that's one of my favorite parts of the study. If you can believe, Charity, 71% of women said that they would rather eat every meal at home. And that is just really surprising. And get this, 50% of the respondents said they eat dinner with their families 6 to 7 days a week. And that's just so exciting. I mean, we're really sitting down at the table and having conversation like never before. 66%, two-thirds of women say they are eating at home more than they did 2 years ago. So this is important. These are very important shifts in the way we view food in America. How do they pull this off? Well, they commented on things like, oh, they look for time-saving strategies. They still use convenience foods. They use leftovers. Who doesn't like a leftover now and then? And they're also, about 50% are using quick and easy recipes. So the point, you really can have dinner at home, and that is preferred. Guess what? It also saves money for families, and that's a great thing.
Is that what's driving the trend, do you think, the fact that we have seen a downturn in the economy and more people are trying to save money? Do you think that that's what's behind this?
Absolutely. I like to say that basically, especially where this study is involved, the big important things are still the big important things when it comes to eating at home. And you bet saving money by preparing meals at home, number one. And then also, when you prepare a meal at home, you can really control the healthfulness of that meal and really get some good stuff into your family. And then the third factor, again, is it just feels good to serve your family something yummy and delicious. You know, it puffs up mom, makes her all proud. So those are the three driving factors, the big important things, if you will, to why we like to eat at home.
And in your survey, I've noticed that in a lot of the results that you do make a distinction between women who are mothers and women who are not mothers. Do you see a lot of difference in the habits of these women?
Absolutely. Again, moms outspend the national average when it comes to weekly expenditures. They're spending about $123 compared to non-moms who spend more like $84 a week. Those moms are using more coupons. Makes sense. Eating healthfully more, trying to get more vegetables into their families, more fruits. In terms of that, moms are eating more produce overall and are eating significantly more fresh fruits and vegetables. So, yes, moms are really out there working hard.
Well, and we'd love to get your input as well. I know that a lot of you probably have changed your habits in the last few years. And Talk of Iowa is not all about her. So you can be a man or a woman. We'd love to know about your habits. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Or you can leave your comment on our Facebook page at Iowa Public Radio as well. We do want to know about your habits. And starting with, are you eating at home more and why? And not just why you're doing it, but if you are spending more time eating at home, are you enjoying it? Tell us how it's affected your life and your relationships with your family. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. So you alluded a little bit to some of the things that people are making when they're eating at home, but let's get more into that. One of the things you found is that a lot of women are really making an effort to try new recipes every month.
Absolutely. It's so exciting. I think, you know, it used to be that we'd eat the same old thing night after night. I myself grew up on like cube steak, I believe, honestly. And although it was yummy, it's so refreshing to see that moms and non-moms are trying new recipes. We saw that they're using about 2.1 new recipes each month. and then a total of 7 new and old recipes. And so how exciting for the family. Now, the secret to that, though, if there is a secret, is it's really great to slip a new flavor into a recipe that's familiar. That can be something as simple as a new dipper to go with chicken, a sauteed chicken, or maybe it's a new rub or a new coating, something that jazzes up chicken that is still number one with families. So mom has the most success when she adds a new flavor to something that's highly familiar, a new flavor or a new recipe for preparing something familiar.
One of the statistics that you have is that more than 4 out of 5 women are still preparing side dishes and main meals from scratch. Can you define from scratch? Because I have this feeling that has really, our idea of what from scratch is has really changed over the years.
It has. And you're totally correct. Scratch cooking is something that, you know, is it really scratch if you open a cake mix and add liquid? Many folks looked at that as the definition. Well, sure, I'm still cooking. The way we looked at scratch in this study is scratch, like A to Z. Let's make it from beginning to end. And what a wonderful detail to find out that even side dishes and main meals, truly, folks are cooking from scratch. It's less about the time involved. I think we alluded to that earlier, but the economy led cooks back to the kitchen. You know, they had to stay home. They were eating out less. But guess what? Once they were back in the kitchen, they realized, like, wow, cookies, homemade cookies are really yummy. And, you know, the kids like banana bread in the morning or after school, and it's not that hard to make. And so this scratch thing sort of took on a new energy, and we find that very exciting, you know, especially those of us creating recipes for a living. So it very exciting. And well, people do understand. That's not that they don't rely on bagged salads or right. ready-made dressings. Of course they do. It depends on the day.
Well, and you, your other statistic, you were talking about cookies, nearly 2/3, 62% make baked goods from scratch. Are you primarily talking about cookies and banana bread as opposed to actually baking your own sandwich bread and that kind of thing?
Everything. Less on the sandwich bread, as you allude to. But baking, yes, from scratch is what happens the most, but still the preparation of main dishes from scratch. Think about the people you know suddenly back to making lasagna or that enchilada casserole versus buying a prepared one in the store. I think, you know, we've learned that families like to cook together and making a pan of lasagna or again, an enchilada casserole. These are all popular recipes as well.
Well, we'll talk more about that in a moment. We're talking today about the Better Homes and Gardens Food Factor 2010, How America Cooks, Eats, and Shops. This is Talk of Iowa.
Are you hungry?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Mmm, a banana.
Yum, 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 yum.
Are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Yes, I am.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and we're talking today about the Better Homes and Gardens Food Factor 2010. It's an extensive survey about how America cooks, eats, and shops. 3,600 women participated in the survey, and one of the people who has compiled all of this information is Nancy Hopkins, my guest today. She's Senior Deputy Editor of Food and Entertaining at Better Homes and Gardens, and we'd love to have you join our conversation as well. Tell us how you're eating and cooking and shopping habits have changed over the past few years and why. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Nancy, before the break, we were talking a lot about the fact that people are eating at home more often, and that may be mostly driven by the economy. On the subject of economy, what are people doing to change their habits so they can save money when they buy food?
That's a great question, Charity. You know, they're eating out less. We know that. 64% eating out less. But beyond eating out, they're stocking up on bargains. When they see a sale, you know, chicken, 3 packs for, you know, $12 or whatever, they're stocking up on those bargains. When they see a sale, they nab it. They're using a shopping list. Studies show us that, you know, if you go into a store without a list, wow, everything winds up in that cart. So they're back to the shopping list, planning at home what they need, and then, you know, making a dedicated effort to buy it in the store. They're using cents off coupons as well. The coupon has seen a whole new growth, you know, in a presentation to a manufacturer. Not so long ago, they said, you know, we forgot about our package. We're adding coupons back to the package. And I think that's really interesting because this awareness of coupons, whether on the package, in the paper, a downloadable coupon, they really matter, especially to families trying to, you know, keep delicious dinners on the table.
So people really are paying attention to that. How about online coupons? Did you survey people about that? Because that seems to be a growing area where people are finding savings.
It is a growing area. We didn't look at, you know, the total online coupon, other than the fact that we know they're using more of them. The other area, though, using more store brands and private labels now than in the past 2 years. You know, price tends to drive that purchase. But once they get the product home, if they love it, they keep using the store brand. And if they don't, they go back to that tried and true brand. Whether it's an online coupon purchase or a regular coupon or, you know, a store brand, they're going to use the most delicious, the one that their family really enjoys.
And older women do tend to focus on coupons more.
They do. Our study showed that, I'm looking here, older women, 50 plus, use coupons nearly every time they shop, compared to about 17% of women using them when they're 18 to 34. So yes, it does sort of segment out that way.
I guess we make more time for that as we get older, perhaps.
Eric
is on the line from Dallas Center. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, yeah, I just kind of was listening a little bit, and my wife and I both come from families that always had gardens, and in the last couple of years, we decided we'd kind of, you know, expand ours, and so we almost have probably about a fifth of an acre that we planted this last year. But we wanted it because my wife went over to her grandmother's house and canned the green beans and other things, beets, sweet potatoes and different things. And then to add to it, we went out and got 50 laying chickens.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, well, and we've got access where we live on a farm, obviously, and then we get access to an old chicken coop that hadn't been used. And then 25 of those laying hens became broilers midway through the process. But we eat a lot of those things. Because of it, we also got a bread maker, and then we went out and bought a pasta maker just this last Christmas. So we're trying to use the things we have at home to expand our dinner options, and it's been very interesting and very fun.
Has it been a big challenge to take the foods that you're growing in your garden and figure out how to prepare them and how to can them and how to really make use of them?
Well, the biggest challenge is trying to make it a little bit more interesting every time, but the canning was we were able to. My wife was able to go over to grandmother's, and she helped her through that process. And then figuring out if it would be better to can or to just freeze some of them. So we experimented half and half on some of them to find out how that was. And then the process of taking it from that point to the table has been pretty interesting. Just experimenting with different menus.
Well, that's great.
Eric, I'm totally impressed. I want to move in with your family. It sounds delicious.
Well, it is fun because my wife works in an office where they like to get some of her eggs, and so she'll bring in. We've got more than we can ever use, so she'll bring in 7-8 dozen a week to different people, and they've actually got some of the people there whose children won't eat anybody else's eggs because they're a little yellower.
So. Eric, I'm curious, how many children do you have?
We just have one 10-year-old daughter, so she's... that's the other reason we decided to expand last year, because she's kind of old enough to help.
And does she help a lot?
She does. She gets in there and does some of the weeding in the garden with me. She helps gather the eggs. I take care of most of the feeding and watering and those kind of things. But she's been pretty helpful.
What are her favorite foods to prepare? I would think she loves making the pasta.
Yeah, she likes the pasta. She likes the green beans a great deal. You know, we can a great number of green beans. She does not care for the beets. Those are mine. but you know, she likes to. She's just getting started helping in the kitchen and making things. She likes to bake, and so helping a little bit with the bread. She loves different kinds of bread. So.
Well, that's terrific, Eric. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, Eric.
So, Nancy, did you explore a growth in people growing their own food as well?
We did. And it's so exciting to hear Eric and speak with him. What a growing trend he shows. In all truth, I feel like if this study went back in the water this very minute, it's the Erics of the world that would really, really grow. The numbers would grow within our study. This is new. You know, it's we're seeing it on the pages of the magazine where people have, they have chicken coops in their backyard. They're going gaga for pasta and bread makers and canning. Oh, who knew that canning would be something that families do together on the weekend? And that just, you know, canning alone, whether they buy the produce at the farmer's market, which that's one avenue. But what we're hearing more and more, and we're creating more and more content for showing families how to grow their own vegetables and really reap the benefits of an edible garden. And just like Eric says, we know that kids, they love the green beans. You know, beets are a harder sell, but absolutely. If children participate in growing these vegetables, you bet there will be more beet eaters in
right.
our futures.
You're know. Much more likely to actually try something that they've been a part of.
Absolutely. And just huge applause for Eric, because it's fantastic. Just think about his 10-year-old daughter when she has her own children and what she'll bring to that picture. I think at first we thought, you know, it was this whole like organic movement or local movement leading people to this. But again, it also comes back to the economy. The economy led them back to their kitchens. And when they got there, you know, maybe like Eric's family, they tried canning first. Well, that tasted pretty good. And wouldn't those canned, you know, salsas be delicious over pasta? Well, that led them to the bread machine. And, you know, dipping the bread in the homemade salsa or using it over pasta, which then led them to the chickens. And I bet for Eric, you know, bees can't be very far behind, because, you know, beekeeping, such a popular trend as well. And you know, honey. So
right.
it's very exciting. The times for food in America, it's very exciting.
You were asking Eric questions about cooking with his daughter. Is that something that you explored with the women that you surveyed, spending time actually preparing food with their families?
Totally. And what we found there is, you know, they're getting help. These women, you know, and I know we sort of giggled when I said it's all about her. Well, it's not literally about her, but Mom didn't have as much help in the recent years. And now those kids, they're home and they're learning, like, wow, it's kind of fun to help Mom peel the potatoes. And so, yes, you know, they're cooking together. Moms are able to teach their children about where their food comes from. And then, the dads hear all the giggling in the kitchen, and there they are. They're in there. And before you know it, the whole family's participating in this effort to eat better and spend more quality time at home. So it's fantastic. It's just fantastic.
You can join our conversation today at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We're talking today about the Better Homes and Gardens Food Factor 2010, how America cooks, eats, and shops. And we have an email here from Rout in Cedar Rapids. He says, I'm a married man, and I enjoy cooking with my wife. She cooks for about 80% of the time. I do 10%. 10% is restaurant food. We eat healthy food. We measure our intake. We enjoy cooking together sometimes. And we enjoy restaurant food in moderation. Save some money. He says he's found that restaurant food is 3 to 4 times more expensive and at least 2 times higher in calories and 4 times higher in fat. And he says he probably doesn't think that they represent the majority of people, but they're happy with what they're doing. He says when they cook, it's almost 90% fresh or from scratch. So there's another input for you for your survey, Nancy. And Robert is on the line in Des Moines next. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm a 69-year-old male. I have been divorced for, I think, 12 years. Even when I was married, I did the cooking. We never ate in restaurants. I cooked everything fresh. I still do. I have a complete meal every day. I don't. And you were mentioning coupons. I don't use coupons.
All right. And you, is that on principle, Robert? Or?
Well, no. If it's a coupon, they're trying to sell something that I really don't need.
Oh, okay. You don't want them to influence what you're buying.
Right. And I eat, well, I buy in bulk, and I have freezer bags, the things that suck the air out, and so I freeze everything, and I only shop once a month.
Oh, wow.
Wow, Robert.
That takes a lot of planning.
I'm curious, Robert, what are your favorite meals to prepare? Are you influenced by ethnic touches? Where do you get your ideas? Do you,
well,
you know,
growing
use cookbooks?
Up, as a young person on the farm, we raised all of our own food and everything. I eat a lot of beef. I eat some pork. And I always have to have vegetables, and I'm a big eater of potatoes.
And what are your favorite ways to prepare? Like, where do you get your potato ideas?
Out of my head.
Well, you're one of the fortunate ones. But you said something sort of magical there, and we hear so much about this in Iowa, and I'm originally from Tennessee, and I think it was a very important part of my life. You know, that growing up in a farm area, learning from our mothers and grandmothers, and it's priceless. It's a little bit like Eric teaching his 10-year-old daughter. But one of the interesting things we found in the study is that folks still report that they first learned to cook from their mother or their grandmother. And Robert, you fit that because, you know, those are early lessons and we remember them. And that's what gets the food in our head, don't you think? I mean, you can pull that potato idea right from maybe you're channeling a grandmother.
Yeah. Robert, thank you so much for your call today. And one of the other things that you explored in your survey is how people are preparing the food that they're preparing. Fiona just sent us an email on that subject. She says, I don't own a microwave, so if I want something warm, I have to heat it up on the stove, and I prefer not to eat prepackaged food, so I end up doing a lot of cooking. And so she often does a big dish like a pot roast, and then I mix it with everything else I have in the house, salads, vegetables, soup, stew, sandwiches, etc. And she says the roast was $14 and it should last about a week, coming to $2 a day for meat. Of course, I live alone, so it does go farther. But do you find that people are using those convenience items like microwaves as much as they always have been, or have you seen a change there as well?
We have. You know, microwave usage is up again. Isn't that interesting because, you know, we were microwave crazy not so long ago, and then I think we sort of backed off. But now we did see that about 76% use their microwave at least once weekly. Theona said something magical there, though, that we saw that 6 and 10 prepare meals ahead of time at least once a month. Now, she beats that, but often preparing a meal ahead, whether it's like she said, the pot roast or the roast, this is something that a lot of people enjoy doing, getting that head start and then using that pot roast. I imagine because she said she's alone, she can have, you know, pot roast sandwiches. She can have some pot roast over pasta. She can start, you know, in the classic way with the potatoes and the green beans. But and likely, I wonder if she even freezes some of the pot roast as she moves through that piece of meat. And what we also see is that many people prepare food on the weekend to sort of get them through the week. So to answer about convenience products, yes, we see that they continue to make lives easier, of course. But what does convenience mean? That for some means buying a prepared salad or already cut up fruit, chopped fruits and vegetables. You know, one of the popular products is, you know, pre-chopped green peppers and onions that you add to soups and stews. So convenience comes in many different sort of forms, depending on the cook.
And we'll talk more about that in a moment. We need to take a break here. My guest today is Nancy Hopkins. She's Senior Deputy Editor of Food and Entertaining at Better Homes and Gardens. We're talking about the Food Factor 2010, how America cooks, eats, and shops. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the fram sauce with the awesome fee, with shafafa on the side.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about the Better Homes and Gardens Food Factor 2010, how America cooks, eats, and shops. It's an extensive survey to find out how our habits are changing with all of the choices that we have in the marketplace and all of the information that we have available to us now. We'd also like to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send us email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We'd love to know about how your habits have changed in the last few years as well. My guest is Nancy Hopkins. She's Senior Deputy Editor of Food and Entertaining at Better Homes and Gardens. And Nancy, we've got Ron on the line from Brooklyn. Hello, Ron.
Hello.
Hi, Ron. What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Nancy, I happen to live in New York City and am a big fan of Better Homes and Gardens. And here in New York, people are shopping a lot, buying local products and buying a lot at farmers markets. And I just wanted to ask Nancy whether she's seeing that across the country, whether families are going to the local farmers markets and really shopping together and preparing their meals together.
What do you think, Nancy?
Hi, Ron. Absolutely, they are. Locally grown produce is a major, major deal for American families. But why do they shop local? The study showed that first, it's about freshness, second, taste, and then finally, they really want to support that local small business, teach their children more about where food actually comes from. So it comes down to freshness and taste always first, though.
We had a caller earlier, and he couldn't stay on the line, but Randy wanted to know about how the economy has influenced people going to farmers markets. I mean, obviously, there are some things that you can get that are less expensive at farmers markets. Some things are definitely not less expensive at farmers markets. Have you seen that people are making their decisions about buying local based on economy?
The economy really affects that purchase. Women are willing to pay about 27% premium for an organic product or local product. And the majority, and that's 52%, are willing to pay for the organic version of a food that they would normally buy. So yes, they're still willing to pay more for that, but it depends totally on what that product is.
You can give us your input at 866-780-9100. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have an email here from Sarah, and she says, about 2 years ago, I was tired of spending a lot of money at the grocery store, then getting home with nothing to eat. I also found that I was buying plenty of fresh produce, but it would rot before I used it. I have two little boys, I'm married, and I work full time, so it's important to eat healthy meals together, and planning is critical. Although I do not need to have a strict food budget, we were wasting money because groceries were going unused and we'd get home in the evenings and not know what to eat. So I made a New Year's resolution that I actually kept. I started sitting down on Saturday or Sunday, planning meals for the week, checked my pantry for ingredients, and made a list. I limited my shopping to the list, but would add staples if they were on sale. I try new recipes almost every week and spend more time cooking on the weekends. So she makes more elaborate, new, time-consuming recipes, and she also cooks ahead. For example, I'll make soups, breads, etc. that will last for the week. And I've started a small garden and I've experimented with freezing and canning and I love it. She sounds like she epitomizes all of the trends that you found in your survey, Nancy.
Go, Sarah. No, she could be the poster child for our study, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
She's perfect. No, she's perfect. And you know what, though? Sarah's getting something that she didn't highlight in that fabulous email, and that is she feels great. Her family adores her. They look forward to coming home, sitting down to the table together. And so Sarah's getting something far supreme to all those wonderful things she said.
Well, and she mentioned shopping with a list and sticking to a list. That's something that you are seeing a lot more women doing.
You're so right. The list makes a major difference. I think especially if you're shopping with the family, you know, you can say, no, we aren't buying those cookies or those you know, ready-made baked goods that can add to the checkout list. So the list is a magic component of saving money paired with coupons.
Right. Right, which hopefully you planned out ahead of time as well. You have to be a planner to use those effectively.
She even fit in the new recipes, though. That's the part I really love.
Claudette is on the line now from Ellsworth. Hello, Claudette.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was very interested in your conversations here, and I'm calling with some information. I'm one of the lucky people who gets to judge canned products at the Iowa State Fair. And one of the things that we really stress to all of our exhibitors is the safety aspect of food preservation. So if someone's interested in canning, for example, and really doesn't have a background, I would recommend that they contact their local extension office. ISU has lots of publications that can give you that information about good, safe canning methods. And one of the things that was a kind of an interesting revelation to some of the people who were first exhibiting is the fact that Iowa is not a flat state. We do have elevation variations, and the elevation of your county is going to determine the processing time of some of those products. So it's great. I love to can. I can all summer long. But if you're new to that technique, contact your extension office and get those USDA recommendations. You can find all kinds of canning recipe books, and they have fabulous recipes. And they may allude a little bit to the safety aspect, but USDA is the organization that can give you the definitive word so that all of your hard work pays off, so that 6 months later when you open that jar of preserved whatever, it's going to be safe for your family to consume.
Well, that's a great point, Claudette. And that's something else that you looked into in your survey is how women feel about food safety. What are their concerns?
Claudette, you're amazing. Thank you for that tidbit. I'm curious, before I answer the food safety, what are you canning? What are your favorite foods to can?
Oh, well, I can a lot of vegetables, jams and jellies, marmalades, salsa. Anything that can go in a ball jar, I love to do it. Canned potatoes. This winter I had bought a large sack of potatoes, and they started getting a little bit soft. So I canned them, and I'll use those in soups or even just make mashed potatoes out of them later on. But they're ready to go anytime I want them.
All right. Do you have children in your life? I think one of the things that we're seeing is that parents are teaching their children to can earlier and earlier. And what's interesting, there are many canning groups popping up around the country where, you know, a couple of gal pals get together and start a canning club. Salsa is really popular in that regard. So it's popular, and it's gaining. And so is freezing, too, by the way. And, you know, coming along, pulling up the rear is, you know, people are drying foods again, especially
right. Fruits. And it's always interesting at the fair because we will have, in the relishes and so on, there's a Piccadilly class. And, you know, that's kind of end of the garden stuff where you throw in some cabbage and this and that to make some of these relishes. And another thing that was a surprise to a lot of people is that you can make your own home canned soup. You know, you've got a little bit of green beans left and you've got some corn left and you've got this and that. You can make your own soups and can them.
Mm-hmm. And so delicious.
But as I say, we really stress that safety aspect so that it's going to be safe for consumption.
It's very important. And to answer the question, we saw in the study that 32% of U.S. women have used a food that passed its sell date. Isn't that interesting? And that 65% or two-thirds of women are confident that the food they buy is safe to eat. The safety confidence appears, you know, it decreases with age. 36% of women 18 to 34 are confident in their food, whereas women 35 to 49, more so, less confident than women 35 to 49. So it's very, very interesting in that way, and safety is very important.
What are the foods that women are most concerned about?
Well, I honestly, in the study, you know, it's one of the smaller chapters in the study, but what we know is people have the greatest concern around the most recent scare nationally. So, you know, whether it's bagged greens, you know, we went through that one, or whether it's tomatoes or peanut butter. I think people are most nervous about the one, most recent.
Right, the one they've heard about.
The one they've heard about. And that's natural and important, too. You know, those are the ones right in front of us, and I think we need to pay attention to those. But in the day-to-day, food safety at home, you know, they're curious about which cutting board, washing hands, washing produce, sort of the smaller, more simpler kinds of food safety that, you know, live with us daily. Those are the ones they watch, you know, around their families. And then those larger ones that we hear about in the news, of course, they completely worry them.
Certainly. We've talked about the fact that a lot of women are looking for new recipes and trying to spice up what they're doing in the kitchen. Did you explore where they're finding those recipes?
We did. And the good news is, for those of us who, you know, make magazines, i.e. me,
right.
Folks like to turn to a magazine. Isn't that good news for me? And they also like cookbooks. But again, as I mentioned earlier, they don't forget those moms and those grandmothers, you know, people with a little more time to cook. We also saw blogs. We're all hearing more and more about blogs, 1 in 10 users. Blogs already have 1 in 10 users, while online social networks are developing as a more, a newer resource, if you will. Blogs and online social networks are certainly more popular among the younger women, 18 to 34, than the women 35 to 49. But still, you know, I think if we were to put this study back in the water, we'd see increases there for the older women. Interestingly, women without children are more inclined to use a cookbook and newspapers than those with kids. It's a factor of time. And the moms, they rely more on their relatives for the new ideas. So they're looking everywhere, and that's the good news. They're curious. I think cooking has never been more embraced than now. Cooking schools are seeing huge increases in their numbers. Grocery store classes, we see grocery stores offering more and more classes. So we're turning everywhere we can for that new idea.
It's interesting that you say cooking has never been more embraced than it is now, because obviously there was a time when all meals were homemade and all women were in the kitchen and cooking for their families. So are you saying that it's a difference in mindset, that we're more excited about cooking and interested in cooking?
Completely. And we are excited by food, especially the younger generation. I think if you look at how they were raised, exposed to so many more restaurants than our mothers were. They've been eating out so much, and they get home and they want to make Indian food at home. Who knew? Or they want to try, a South American dish, and they realize that's not so hard. And then, that brings us sort of to the entertaining notion. They like to have their friends over to try this new dish. And what happens there, and I think it's a wonderful phenomenon, is once you cook for someone, you have that feeling of self-esteem. It's so fun to cook for people. And we know that people entertain because they like to impress their friends and their family. So it's this incredible, delicious sort of cycle.
Comparing the results of this food factor to the results in 2008, what trends are you really going to keep your eye on for the next one? What do you think you're going to see a lot of growth in?
I think all of them, honestly, this whole willingness to try a recipe and try a new food, very, very interesting. I think, with an open mind, there are no limits to where cooks at home will go to, what cuisines lurk. Will we be doing Middle Eastern food on Tuesday night at home? That'll be really fun to watch. Entertaining, I'm always watching that. I love to entertain. And I think, with the economy hopefully getting back on its feet, we'll have friends over more, entertain at home more. But how will we entertain? We want to watch that. We didn't touch on that, but guess what? The casual sit-down meal is the preferred method of entertaining now, and that's quite different. I think we would have thought it was a potluck or a buffet, but no, we like to sit down and make eye contact with our friends, so we'll keep our eye on that. Healthy eating, very important, continues to be important. Americans want to eat better, look better, feel better, so this is a very important one to watch as well. And then eating at home. How great, to eat at home and enjoy food.
Well, it'll be interesting
together,
too, to see if the economy is rebounding. It'll be interesting to see if people start going out again more, if that's something that people stick with after making that change.
I think that will be fun to watch. I believe that cooking at home will continue, and even if they go out more, I think they're going to want to try these kinds of foods at home, make that restaurant flavor, bring that flavor home, because it's great to be home and be together and make food.
Nancy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Nancy Hopkins is Senior Deputy Editor of Food and Entertaining at Better Homes and Gardens magazine. And today we were talking about the Better Homes and Gardens Food Factor 2010, how America cooks, eats, and shops. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Brian Dow. Technical support from John Pemble in Des Moines. Podcasting and on-demand audio are available at our website, iowapublicradio.org. You can send us email anytime to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, a couple of weeks ago, we did a show about the Underground Railroad in Iowa. It was interrupted by news from Egypt, so tomorrow we'll do it again. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.